Russia on his trip there the year before I went. And the reason I tell you this is because even though I married my dream guy, I meet a lot of women who say, yeah, my husband and I, we just, you know, we're not compatible, or he wasn't the guy I really thought he was, or I could have married somebody else. I've had so many people say that. I could have married someone else. And I'm looking around this room of beautiful women. You guys are all beautiful, and I'm sure you had many opportunities to marry different guys. So what I want to tell you is that even though I married the dream guy, he still snores at night. He still puts his socks in a very large pile. He still drinks out of the milk carton. He still angers me to no end. And I still forget that he ever was my dream guy. I look at him all the time and I just take him for granted. So I want to squash this idea that the dream guy that you could have married, should have married, some cute guy that you kind of see all the time who's nice to you, whatever. At the end of the day, these guys, all these guys, they end up doing that exact same thing. They still snore at night. They still leave messes for you to clean up. You're still going to argue with them. So my hope today, and my husband's hope in telling you all these things, my husband basically wrote this talk. He said, if I could get up there, he's a banker, he would never get up here. If I could get up here, this is what I want you to tell the women. And I'm like, oh, honey, why don't you just come with me? No, no, no. You get out there and you, because every guy I know wants their wives to know this. But they won't tell them. So that's what I'm here to share with you today. My husband is a total jock. In this kind of foofy room, we'd like send him far away. He'd be gone in the parking lot in 10 seconds. So this would not be his scene. But what we did is we created a talk based on the acronym WIFE. So we're going to go through W-I-F-E. And we're going to talk about the positive of the W, or the letter, and then the opposite of that. So first, and I have this fun box, which I have all my little, I'm a visual person, so I like to have visuals. So I'm going to do my fun box, pull things out. So my very first letter is W. Oh, I have to click at the same time and do that. Okay, hopefully I'm doing it right. Oh. Okay. So, as wives, we want to be worldly wise. Now, what does that mean? What does worldly wise mean? When I was I was in my 20s, and we were going to a singles group, and the pastor used to do this. He used to stand on stage and do this all the time. And it stuck with me all these years. And what he said was that whatever you allow into your brain, whether you believe or not, you have to filter it through the Bible. And it stuck with me because as a wife and as a mom, I want to be wise, and how do I do that? So what he suggested, what our pastor suggested, was take everything that you get in life, whether it be from culture or from anywhere, from advice, from people, and filter it through what God's word says. So as a mom, I want to be a worldly wise mom. I want to know, hey, I want to raise my kids to love Jesus. I want to be loving and kind to them like the Bible says. But what does the Bible say about being a godly wife? I wrote, do you guys all have handouts? I'm not going to go through all the verses, but I put some verses there because you can spend some time on your own when kids are napping or whenever to look up those verses. You probably know a lot of them, but in case you don't, I have them there. And they do give a good picture of what God is expecting from us as wives. But I want to show you in Titus 2, 3 through 5, I love that you have mentor moms here. You know how many MOPS groups I go to that have no mentor moms, or they have one poor mom running around? Like, you guys are so blessed. So I hope you give your mentor mom a big hug and tell her thanks for being here. But it says in Titus 2, older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips or enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good so that they may encourage young women. Now listen here, look what it says. Encourage young women to love their husbands first, and second, to love their children. To be sensible, to be pure, workers at home, kind, and being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. So it says there, my husband says that for us women, that we all think of our children more than we do our husbands. If you get nothing out of today, the point is, think of your husbands as much as you do your kids. And so I've been doing this for about 5 years now. trying to do this. Think of, I have four kids, so four times more thought process goes into them than my own husband. And my husband says that most of us don't do that. That most husbands would say if you ask their wives if they think more on their kids or them, they will say, oh, definitely the kids. She's always thinking about the kids. She's always planning for them. She's always this, this, and this. And by the end of the day, she's tired for me. And it's so true. But my husband says our job is to think as much on them as it is us. And it's so hard. It is so hard. I have been where you guys are. I was in MOPS for 8 years. I have been where you are with four kids, diapers. And I'm here to tell you I did not do it perfect. So my hope is that you'll just take one thing from the talk today and maybe implement it today on Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day is a great day to do something crazy because your husband is probably not expecting it. You can be out of the box today. He will say, oh, you can just blame it on Valentine's Day, whatever you do, romantic for him or whatever. So my husband says the opposite of being a worldly wise wife is being a worldly wise wife. And what does that mean? Well, as Bruce and I have gotten our relationship, we text argue a lot, much more than we do argue like face to face. And then that has all kinds of ramifications with it. But what he was saying was we want our marriage to be a picture of Christ in the church, because that's what the Bible says. But we want it to be a reflection to our kids and a reflection of those around us. So as we're looking at our relationship, the most important thing is what others see around us and how our intimacy and what our kids see. And obviously what God and what want to do what God wants us to do. But being worldly wise and not going after the world is that, like Madonna said, it's a quote from her, it says, I think everyone should get married at least once so you can see what a silly, outdated institution it is. And that's kind of our culture. Don't you guys think? Don't you think that every magazine, a lot of these books, we've got like, what, that movie out now, 50 Shades of Grey, creating in us this desire for things that are outside maybe our norm. You have people that are vying for your attention. You have men who are probably, you guys are beautiful girls. I'm sure there are men knocking on doors that are, hey, there's a cute gal over there. You have opportunities, and you have culture that is slamming you with all these things. If you just go through the grocery store line and look at the magazines on the cover, who's divorcing who, who's not happy with who, all kinds of articles on what life should look like, what your marriage should look like. If you're not happy, just leave. But none of that's biblical. And all of that is selfish. I find that when my marriage is messed up, it's because of me. And I'm not really much, but I sure do think about myself a lot. And the problem with that is selfishness just breeds more selfishness. And whenever my marriage is going well, it's because I have taken time to think about my husband. So again, back to him, he says, think about your husbands as much as you do your kids. I have really focused on my kids for Valentine's Day today. I have gotten all kinds of presents for them and cards and written them little letters. And my husband, I have to say, was in that list, but he was the last one I did. He was the last one I thought of. And here I am speaking on this. So even though it has been drilled into my head, it's still hard for me because I'm so excited to share love with my kids. And Matthew 22:37 says, love the Lord with all your heart. And I recently learned what that means. Heart means, in the Bible, we think of heart as like emotions, and I'm going to love. This is the heart holiday, right? We've got hearts everywhere. So what does it mean to love our husbands with our heart, or God with all our heart? And it really means translated into the core of who you are. It doesn't necessarily mean emotions and our feelings, but it means the core of our being, of who we are, to love God with that. And what it means really is that our actions come out of the core of who we are. Our actions don't need to come out of feelings. Our actions come out of what's really inside of us, our character. And so it has been suggested that if we just act how we want to be, our feelings will follow later. And I want to encourage you, at least for me today, I may not be in the greatest place tonight to be the lover that my husband wants, but I'm going to go there anyway. I'm going to extend there anyway. I'm going to pray to the Lord that my husband's touch will thrill me tonight. And just go with that and not wait for the feelings necessarily to come behind it. So because I want to be a worldly wise wife, I want to follow God's word. So that's W. We're going to move on to I. Ah, where'd where'd she go? Okay, I want to be an intentional wife. So with my kiddos, I'm always searching for the keys to my kids' heart and the keys to their minds and their learning patterns. And what are the keys? What are the keys to our kids? So I have spent many hours, many conferences, many books, reading many books, learning about my kids, how to be a good parent, how to train them, and how to raise them up. But what are the keys to my husband? How can I be intentional with my husband? So Bruce would say, he's a grown man, he can take care of himself. We got married later, we got married in our 30s, and he is very capable of taking care of himself. How about you guys? How are your husbands? My husband can make breakfast, he can do his own laundry, he really, honestly, in theory, doesn't need me for a lot of things. How many of you guys would say your husbands are kind of like that? Okay. So, but my husband, he kind of needs an assistant in all things. Even though he doesn't really need me, his desire is that he needs an assistant. So if he needs to go and fix something, he just wants me to stand at the bottom of the ladder and hand him the tools. I have 4 children that could do that, right? But he wants me to do it. He wants me to be there. He has this desire for me to be there. So the key to him is knowing what makes him happy, what makes him tick. And I want to be a wife that is intentional in thinking about him. Now, the opposite of being an intentional wife, because I like to plan out things and make things special for everybody, but the opposite of being an intentional wife is being an ignorant wife. Same with being an ignorant mom, too, like not knowing what our kids need or how to help them or not spending the time we need to, but also as a wife, being an ignorant wife, what it means to be an intentional. So my husband says that all husbands want you to be thinking of them and what they like and what they need and essentially what the keys to them are. And he says that men are visual. And the first thing that we all need to know is that they want us to get dressed at the end of the day when they get home from work for them. I know it sounds crazy. It sounds so old-fashioned. But I'm the mom that was in sweats all the time, and my hair was like crazy. I had 4 kids. I was nursing. The house was a total disaster. And he's like, I would just like you to put some clothing on, brush your hair, make sure the kids don't have food all over their faces, kind of tidy up before I get home. And I'm like, honey, that is so old-fashioned. And he says, you know what? Every husband I know, whether they're 25 or 65, wants the same thing. I'm like, that's crazy. Some of us are working. I worked full-time when my kids were little and was going to mops, and I was doing all these things. Like, that's crazy, honey. I am working full-time, doing all these different things. The books are coming out at that time, and I said, there's no way. And then I heard that small, still voice that your mentor mom was talking about. Is that self-centered, that I can't do it, can't do it? Or just listen to my husband and say, okay, how could I do that? How could I make that happen? So the requirement was, if you desire this, honey, you must call me before you leave the office so that I know I've got 20 minutes to go brush my hair, get some sort of food out, because he likes food ready too, unfortunately. Some sort of food out. I know he has to eat. That's the thing. You know, did you ever notice that your kids and your husband, they have to eat? Like 3 times a day, mine do. And they want clean laundry, and they want a clean house, and they want a happy mom, and in the midst of everything going on. So that was our deal, my husband and I. We said, okay, I'm going to do this if you call me before you leave the office. So the other things that we talked about is he said that every husband marries a wife for a reason. Have you ever asked your husband, why'd you marry me? I encourage you to do it, because he knows why he married you. He knows what his top things are that he loved about you. So mine were that I was fun and that I was a godly woman. I used to be an event planner for 23 years up in LA and did all kinds of big parties, big event, entertainment industry things, very fun stuff. And I was fun, just kind of who I am. I was born that way. Little German father who created fun in me all the time. Everywhere we did, everything was fun. And he loved that about me. Now, I can tell you that having four children will not, like, rip that right out of you very quickly, right? That's fun is like, woo, where's fun? I don't even know that word anymore. But that's the reason he liked me. And so what he said is, when you ask your husband what it is that he loved about you when you first got married, that just one thing, try to be that still, whatever that is. So we did talk about that. If that's his one thing, if being fun is the one thing that he loves so much about me outside of being a godly woman, then I have to try to still do that. And that seems fair. One thing, not like 10, one thing. So that's the one thing that I have been trying to do with the kids or without the kids, be fun. The other thing is, we all know about taking care of our bodies and our husbands being visual. My husband says that for those of us going through the pregnant years, I was 40 pounds heavier. And every year, New Year's would roll around, and I'd say, oh, I wish I could, you know, lose that 10 pounds, or this year I'm going to lose this, really 40 pounds, but and then I'm going to exercise, I'm going to eat better, I'm going to do all these things. My husband says that your husbands really want you to do that. They don't really care about cellulite, just so you know. He has asked like 30 guys in the privacy without women. They don't care. So we worry like about all these, they don't really care. They don't care about cellulite. They don't really care about wrinkles. Most of our husbands like us without makeup. They don't care if our hair is messy. They just want us to brush it. It's interesting, like what we think is, sorry, they do, or wash it occasionally too. But it's funny what we think is important and what they really think is important. My husband actually loves it when I have jeans and a white t-shirt on and no makeup. He loves that. It's weird. I don't like that look, but he likes it, so I will wear that for him. My husband says just try, that your husbands just want you to try. They don't want you to give up. They don't want you to stop trying to take care of yourself. And the reason I'm telling you this is not so much for your husbands, really for yourself. So in a size of a room this large, I think 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 tables. So realistically, in this room, 3 of these tables, you will all get breast cancer, statistically. Is that scary? And the other statistic is 1/2 of your tables will get some sort of cancer before you die. Is that crazy? Taking care of yourself is a real issue in your stage. Have you gone to the doctor and had him check your hormones? How many of you guys have done that since having a baby? Okay, there's not enough hands up in this room. My hormones were out of control. If someone would have set me down, if somebody would have told me this in a MOPS talk, I don't know that I would have done it. But my estrogen was like 500. How can you not get breast cancer when your estrogen is like 500? And then eating terrible, not exercising. I mean, I had all of the tick, you know, boom, 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 boom. I was not taking care of myself. I was not doing it. So I encourage you, take care of yourself. For your husband, for your kids, but for you too. Because you know that small, still voice is telling you, go do it. Just do it. Please don't wait. Cancer is no fun, let me tell you. It is no fun. You don't want it. And you can, to some degree, stop it. Because there are a lot of statistics that say that it is preventable. And I'm here to tell you that I have prevented it by doing all kinds of crazy stuff. So it is preventable. So go to your doctor, get your hormones checked. And also, you know what? You'll be a happier mom just by getting your hormones checked. If you can get your hormones in balance, you'll be less angry and less flying off the handle, less tired. So go do that, okay? Promise? Okay. The other thing my husband says is that if you want to know about your husband, you have to know his love language. And that's a book, The 5 Love Languages. How many of you guys have heard of that book? Oh, yay, I'm so happy. Okay, so the 5 love languages, you can go online. You don't even have to read. You can just take a test. One of the fun things tonight would be to, like, take that test off of the computer and maybe do it with your husband and find out what his love language is if you don't know. So there are 5 love languages, and then one of them is service. They feel love if you serve them. One of them is touch. They feel love if you touch them in whatever way that is. And then another one is time. Your husband may feel, or you may feel love by spending time with them. Another is gifts. They feel love because you get gifts. That's mine. I hate that one. I want to change that one. I don't really like it. It seems very like selfish and consumer-based, but it is. But a gift can also be like service too. So, and then the last but not least is words of affection. Feel love if people are telling you you're wonderful or, right? Okay, so my husband is time. And when I take the test, I get a zero for time. That means when I show love, I never show it in the way of time, ever. It doesn't even fill on my radar. In fact, if you bring me a present and you maybe help me pack up some of the books and take them out to the car and tell me your name, I will probably remember you the next time and we'll be friends and we can just start right there. I need no time from you. I'm a great friend. But my husband needs an exorbitant amount of time. And he not only needs time, but he needs it to be completely just focusing on him. I can't even be multitasking. I always try to do like two things at the same time. And he's like, oh, I'll wait so you're done. I'm like, oh, okay. He literally will sit and wait for me to just come and sit. It is painful for me, painful. So I tell you all that because if I can do it, you can do it. And the crazy thing is God gave me two children that are time. So not only do I have a husband that's time, I have two kids. And it has taken everything in me to fill their little tanks because it is not how I roll. This is not, I am running, I'm an Energizer bunny. We are moving to the next place as fast as possible. And those poor time kids, they are like in the back, just running to keep up, crying the whole way, you know. Mom, come sit with me. So let's not be ignorant of our kids or our husband and what their love language are. Because we can be intentional to their love, to how they feel love if we fill their tanks with how they love. I'm always buying everybody gifts and no one seems to care. I have one kid that's a gift kid. So I buy her gifts. And when I buy her gifts, I put really pretty bows and really pretty little sparkles on them. And she's just like, oh, Mom. I mean, the gift before she opens is a gift because she loves all the little. And the rest of them are like, why'd you even wrap it? You know, who cares? My husband just says, give me a paper bag. Anyway, so that is I. Moving on, F. Husband says we got to be fun. My husband says it's not just him that all husbands really want a fun wife. They want you to plan fun things, and we're always planning stuff for our kids, right? And you want to be the fun mom on the block. Who wants to be the boring, dowdy mom on the block? Nobody, right? We all want to be the fun mom. We all want to spend time planning fun things for our kids. I am, like, always thinking of what I can do. What can we do? Where can we go? But my husband's like, well, when's the last time you thought of me? So I put this hat on. It just kind of matches my outfit, I guess. I picked the black one. My husband has like 10 of these, so I can pick one that works. Has anybody read the book, His Needs, Her Needs? It's a very old book. I'll read you this quote. It's a great book. They took, I don't know how many hundreds of people, and they asked the men and the women, and they did this survey, and they found out what the top 10 needs of a woman and the top 10 needs of a man. And they found that they are opposite of each other. So the number one need for a husband and the number 10 need for a woman are the same. And then they switch as they go up. It's very interesting. So this quote is one of the best quotes I ever have read on this particular topic. It says, a wife needs to develop an interest in the recreational activities that her husband enjoys and try to become proficient at them. If we can't enjoy them, then we need to encourage him to consider another activity that we can do together. We want to become his favorite recreational playmate. And he will associate us with the most enjoyable moments of his life. And of course, want to be with us, right? And if we do this, we'll become our number two need will be met, which is conversation. And if we become his recreational playmate, he will always want to be with us. So I put this baseball hat on because my husband loves baseball. He's crazy about baseball. We have the baseball channel. We watch every game. He's a Met fan. He grew up in New Jersey. So I had to make a decision. He also plays so much golf. I tried to do the golf thing, but that's a time. Do you notice the time? It takes 5 hours. Honey, come sit in the golf cart. Go play golf with me. 5 hours to me. You know how much I can get done in 5 hours? Yes, I tried to learn how to play golf. I did. I really did. And I am bad. I should say I'm not that bad. I really am bad. But at least I tried, and I will go sit in the golf cart. But that was not what my choice was. My choice was to pick baseball, and I will sit and watch baseball. I'll learn all the guys' names. I will root for them. I will go see a game with them. Baseball is what I picked. And you know what? It's great because as a whole family now, we're all Met fans for the most part. Some of the kids have decided to be Angel fans, but anyway. So my husband loves that I have done this. The other thing that we like to do together is we really love to travel. We really love to travel. And so together, I'm always planning trips. We like to go hiking. We like to go just anywhere. Where are we going? What are we doing? How far can we go this weekend? So that's one of the other. So what are you guys like? What are your husbands like? Just shout it out. Food? Food's an easy one. Who said food? I like that one. I could do that one. So I heard football. I heard food. I heard snow skiing. Did somebody say skiing? Okay. And then are you guys participating in those with him? And do they love that? So I think it's a great thing. If you want to be fun for your husband, just be part of what he loves. At least pick one thing, okay? The opposite of being fun is being fatigued. Now, I'm speaking to a room of fatigued people, women who don't get enough sleep. So I totally get this is hard. I have been there. I'm still kind of there. I don't think you ever really get over that fatigue thing, because everything just keeps moving. Obviously, it gets easier because your kids do eventually. They do sleep through the night eventually. They do. It's hard to believe. I know. It's so hard to believe. But it does happen. And you will eventually get those. But then you're going to start having teenagers, and then you're up in the middle of the night, like worried and thinking, and then your hormones are going to change, and so you're always going to be a little fatigued. So let me tell you, at this point in time, let's try to handle the fatigueness, if that's even a word, and see what we can do for our husbands. And the reason is because I think one of the reasons I got cancer is I never napped with my kids. I know it sounds silly. I did not nap. I didn't rest. I didn't take time for myself. I was too crazy. Please nap when your children are napping. Please. If your kids aren't napping anymore, let's say you have one napping and you have two other ones running around the house at the same time, please teach them quiet time. Please teach them to go in their rooms. I did this. This is your quiet time for 1 hour. Here's all your toys. And I had quiet time toys they were not allowed to play with, only at quiet time. Put those toys out. And they loved those toys, and they were only allowed to play with them. At least get an hour. So I used to get an hour, and what did I do? I worked. Don't do that. Don't clean the house. Go take time for yourself. Go take a bath. Go, please, because you will be a better mom and a better wife for it. Go spend that time. If you need to work out and get some steam, whatever it is, take that time for you. Napping, taking care of you. I'm telling you all this because I really feel passionate about that. I really want no more breast cancer. I don't want anyone in this room to get cancer. I really feel very passionate about it. But for my husband, he really wants me to not be fatigued for one reason. What do you think the number one need of a man is? Yes, yes. And what is tonight? I know last week you guys heard about expectations. What do you think your husband's expectation for this evening is? I doubt there is one husband in this room, or represented in this room, that isn't an expectation for tonight. But they also have another expectation. And my husband says, this is so true. Honey, you have to make this a very strong point. Put a star by it. I'm like, okay, I'll put a star by it. He says, well, first I'm going to read you Song of Solomon, and then I'm going to tell you what he says. It says in Song of Solomon, this is a book in the Bible, my beloved is dazzling. This is the woman speaking about the man. And ruddy. Outstanding among the 10,000. His head is like gold, pure gold. His locks are like clusters of dates. I know it sounds really crazy. I know. And and his hair is as black as ravens. His eyes are like doves. It goes on to talk about his legs are pillars, and his back is strength. I mean, it's a good picture, word pictures, right? His mouth is full of sweetness, and he is wholly desirable. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. So what is she doing? What is she doing in this passage? You can yell it out. Anyone? She's adoring her husband. Is she telling him he's hot or what? She's telling him he's hot. My husband says that every man desires to be told he is hot. That his muscles are strong. That his hair is awesome, even though it's falling out. That he's tan, even when he's white. That he thrills you. He wants to know that he thrills you and that you want him. He says that every man, not some men, not men that are in their 20s, every man desires this. In his little survey, every man said, I would love if my wife did that. So what do I do? Well, when he gets out of the shower and we're getting ready together, I remember this. And I'm like, honey, you look so great. Have you been working out? Okay, guys, he doesn't look that great. And he probably hasn't been working out. But the thing is, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. And you can totally lie. In this category of life, you can totally lie because it doesn't matter. And they will believe you. They will totally believe you. Sometimes we're driving in the car, and I'll just look over, and I'll say, oh, you are so handsome. And he'd be like, thanks, honey. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether he has just, I mean, my husband is graying and he's losing his hair and he used to be really handsome. He's still really handsome. Don't get me wrong. But he's still the same person inside, right? He's still the same person. And he still wants to know that he's awesome. And he even said the other day, you know, the 30-year-old girls don't look at me anymore. They don't look and turn at me when I walk by. Really? The 30-year-old boys stopped doing that with me a long time ago. But see, they have this need. They have this need. And so what I want you guys to do right now is I want you to take out your phones. Come on. Everyone get your phones. There's a prize to be had. Come on, competitive girls. Get your phones out. And I want you guys to text your husbands. And I want you to tell him how hot he is. And this will not be weird because it's Valentine's Day, right? So you can tell him how hot he is, what you're expecting for this evening, or what you're going to do to him this evening, or whatever you want to do. And whoever gets the first response back who's willing to share can come and get a prize off the table. All right. So if we want to be a wife that our husbands desire, we have to think about them more often than we do our kids. We have to be worldly wise. We have to know what God's word says about it. We have to be intentional with them. You guys are being very intentional by texting him right now. And we have to be fun and create that space and time. And I just want you to know that in the Bible it does say in 1 Corinthians 7, 3 through 5, prepare sexually and give yourself to your husband. Oh, yes. All right, what did he say? Awesome. You can come out. You can come over and get a book, whatever book you want. All right. So now he wants you to do that more often than just once a lifetime. So think about it. Text him. Tell him. Write him letters. Write lipstick on your mirror. Just tell him how cute he is. Tell him in front of your kids. Sometimes it's fun to do it like when he's walking in the car and to tell your kids, like, isn't daddy awesome? Doesn't he take care of us? Doesn't he protect us? Isn't he cute? My girls are like, All right. The last letter, E. We need to be an encouraging cheerleader for our husbands. We do this for our kids, right? We tell them that their painting is gorgeous and they're going to be the next Michelangelo, even though it's just like this little stick figure drawing. we tell our kids that they can do anything. It doesn't matter if you're not a good soccer player. It's okay. You're awesome. You can do it. You can go do it. Who of us doesn't do that? We all do that, right? We draw out our kids at night. I think one of the best advice I got with teenagers, just put this in your brain for those of you guys who don't have teenagers. As your children get older, they no longer want to talk to you. Now I know they're clinging on you and they're like, mommy, mommy. And eventually it stops. Eventually they kind of, especially the boys, they sort of just become this man of steel who says nothing. I don't know why, but it does. And so my 15-year-old, he's dying to talk to me. But there's something about who he is that's just like, I can't talk to her. Here's the ticket. This is the best advice somebody gave me on parenting for teenagers. At night, when they're going to bed, if you start a culture of putting your children to bed and talking to them and reading to them and praying with them, if you continue this into their teenage years, they no longer want it, but they want the massage and the tickling that comes with it. And if you tickle a 15-year-old boy's back and massage his back, guess what happens? Tell me your secrets. And it fully works. It takes time. See, this whole thing is time. Then we're back to time. It takes so much time. But it doesn't matter because I can sit there and eventually he will tell me about the girl he likes and he'll tell me about problems he's having. But otherwise, I would have no idea. So I look at men kind of the same way. Like a lot of these 15-year-old men just grow up to be 30 and they're still doing the same thing. They're not speaking. How's your day? Fine. Go sit down on the couch. You know, well, what do you want to do this weekend? I don't know. He's looking at the television. He's not speaking. My husband's different. He likes to speak a lot. And we always want what we don't have, right? So for those of you who have husbands that don't speak, honey, tell me about your day. Tell me your secrets, right? Just tickle their back, massage their back at night. It really doesn't take that long. And they do open up. So encourage your husbands. I have to say and we have to think about how to encourage them, in their lives, how to encourage them in their work. And I want to put one note of caution. If you're hanging out with people who talk badly about their husbands, you will eventually start talking bad about your husband. If you're hanging out with people who talk badly about your husband, you will start thinking badly about your husband. Even if you have a fantastic marriage. I had this happen. Firsthand, my best friend decided when we first got married that she didn't like my husband. She didn't like him when he was single. She didn't like him when we got married. And so every opportunity she had, she just put a little dig in. And we were newly married, and I was so excited. And I started thinking about my husband, like, oh, those thoughts, ever so, so subtle. He's really not that great. He really didn't do that. Did he really do that? Shouldn't he be doing this? So I told her, I said, I can't be your friend if you're going to continue to talk about your husband like that and my husband like that. She got so mad at me. It ended our friendship completely for 5 months. I prayed for her a lot. She came back after 5 months and asked for forgiveness, and we're still really good friends to this day. But I was willing to make my husband more important because I'm his cheerleader. If people are going to talk bad about your husband, I don't care if it's your mom, I don't care if it is your sister, you stop them because you will start to think badly about your husband by what other people say about their husbands or what they say about your husband. Okay? Warning, 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 warning. I think more marriages have been messed up just by culture and people talking about what they need or expectations or want or no, don't allow it. The opposite of being an encouraging cheerleader is being an exhausting nag. What does the Bible say about an exhausting nag? I'm telling you, the verses in the Bible just kill me. They are Proverbs. They're all in Proverbs. It says, it is better to live in the desert. This is not Palm Springs. This is the Sahara Desert. It is better to live in the desert than to live with a quarrelsome, nagging woman. 21:19 says, a quarreling wife is like a continual drip of rain, like your faucet that never stops dripping. I cannot sleep when there's a dripping faucet. It's better to live on the roof than in a house with her. a nagging woman. We do not want to become a nag. My husband, bless his sweetheart, he's not very handy. He's not very handy. And I often have many things to be fixed in our house. But in the very beginning of our marriage, somebody suggested, you go write a list of what you think you're supposed to do, what he's supposed to do, and then he goes and does the same thing, and then compare your lists. It's very wise. Because a lot of the things I thought he was supposed to do, he thought I was supposed to do. And that was a little friction in our relationship. So soon we figured out whose jobs were which. And then when something needs to be done, I was also counseled to make a decision to never nag him about anything. I ask him one time to do something. I may ask him a second time. And if he doesn't do it, I will either do it myself, find someone to do it, pay someone to do it, beg my father to do it, whatever it is. And my husband, some degree, doesn't really like that because he comes home and things are fixed and he's embarrassed. So now he's become more of a handyman in life. But we talked about it in the very beginning of our marriage. And one of the things they said, is it easier when there's a sock on the ground? Is it easier to leave the sock there? Is it easier to allow accumulation of socks to pile up? Or is it easier to kick it on the other side of the bed? Is it easier to argue about it? Or is it easier to pick up the sock and put it in the dirty clothes? Which is easier? Pick it up and put it in the dirty clothes, right? So that has been my way of life in our marriage. Some people may say, you're enabling him. That's not very good. You're not really? Do you think you're going to change your husband? Do you think by arguing with him to clean, if he never cleaned up his socks at home or in college with his roommate, he's probably not going to do it for you. You can ask, you can beg, you can plead, you can cry, but don't expect it. He's still, like I said, going to drink out of the milk carton. He's still going to do the things that he did. He may leave the seat up on the toilet seat. There are things you can ask for. But the thing is, at the end of the day, don't be a nag, because they are who they are, and they're wonderful in how God created them, and it's not our job to change them. We can pray about it. I've prayed a lot, and God has changed a few things in him, but it wasn't me. I didn't really do anything, just a lot of whining in the beginning. So I encourage you not to be a nag. And with that, I'm going to close us in prayer, and I know that my husband would want to say to you all that you are loved, not only by your husband, but by God. And he would want you guys to know, too, that you're doing a good job because you're here. He says every girl that shows up here is a woman who desires to be a better mom and a better wife. And so good for you. He would say hats off to you guys. And so I want to encourage you that your husbands really do want a lover, a playmate, a friend. And sometimes there's friction in life. There's just friction. My husband and I had friction this week. Our house was burglarized last week. And they took all my jewelry. They didn't take anything else. They just took all my stuff. And I felt very much like it was an offense against me. And he didn't quite understand it. I didn't feel protected. I didn't feel like he was taking care of me at all. And I felt like he had missed out on his window being my protector. And so I was mad at him. And all of this friction, and then we had a lot of other things that were happening at the same time, as life does, right? And we just hashed it out. And there still is a little bit of friction tonight. But the thing is I love him, I know he loves me, and I know we will work it out. And I know that if I do these things, and I just try, and I take myself out of it for a moment, and I just go in, even though tonight I really don't want to, girls, I really don't. I really don't want to be like this loving, but I'm going to. I'm going to give him a massage. I already got him a card, and I already wrote it, and I'm acting upon it, not because I have the feelings right now, but because I know this is what I'm going to do. This is what God asked me to do. I'm his wife. So if for any of you guys who are in that place, I'm with you, because there is friction for us right now. So just go do it. Just create that action. Don't look for feelings, and go love on your husband. So let's pray. Thanks for listening. Father God, I just thank you so much for this time that we could be here to talk about our men, because they are your creations, and you created marriage. You created it, Lord, I know, for all of us, so that we would learn more about how to be like you and more how to love others. And so help us to see our husbands for who they are. Help us think about them more than we do our kids. Help us know that we will be blessing our children by loving our husbands. I thank you, Lord, for these women, because each woman here has made a commitment to be here and to be a better mom and be a better wife. And so I thank you for that. And I pray for each one of their families represented. I pray for their kids. I pray that they would love you, that they would be disciples of yours. I pray for each of our times tonight with our husband and with our family. Help us to show love. Help us to be loving towards them in a way that, they would feel that their tanks are filled. I thank you, Lord, that you came and died for us and that you love us more than we could ever imagine. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, ladies.